Amen. I guess I shouldn't even ask the question, just make a statement. I feel the presence of the Lord here tonight, and just ask Him to have His way and just minister life and peace to you guys tonight. Praise the Lord. We're going to go to 1 John again tonight in the second chapter for just a few moments. Does anybody need prayer before we go any further, or everything all right? Just feeling the move of the Holy Spirit? Yes, ma'am. All right, won't you come and we'll pray with you before we'll ask these ladies to come and pray with you tonight, my wife, and these ladies to come and pray. Anybody else that wishes to join in? I'll pray for Sister Mickey tonight. Just hold her up.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God, let your anointing flow this evening, Father. Let your healing virtue flow. Your loving care flow tonight, God, in the name of Father, in the name of Jesus tonight. He called on my hand again. Minister life to everyone tonight, God. You are the life-giving water. Come to the life-giving water. Hallelujah. We are overcomers in you tonight, Lord. We are all overcomers in you tonight, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lamb of God. Praise the Lamb of God. Praise the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lamb of God. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Just believe in God for healing in every area tonight. Amen. 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 Just give you a report, brief report. We took some groceries to that couple, Kyle and Christina Covault, on Sunday afternoon, and they seemed very appreciative. We didn't spend all the money that we received for that particular thing, but we took them a good bill of groceries, and then we were able to help another family today buy some propane to help get them through the winter. So all the money's been spent that we received, but we didn't give it all to that one family. We bought them a good bill of groceries, almost $200 worth, and took care of their needs for a while. They're supposed to be here Sunday. He called me back on Monday, and said he'd got a car, so they plan on being here. I've just so you'll know, we encouraged them to get in church somewhere. They said they were coming here, but I directed them towards three churches within 3 miles of their house, because of they live about 23 miles one way from here now, and so something like that. It's close to 50-mile round trip. But you kind of know that, don't you, brother? Some more of you do, but they live further than you do. Go past your house and then south quite some ways. Then down a terrible road. And told my wife, I ain't going back there unless I have to. It's a terrible road. But it seems to be in the boonies, but it's not. But anyway, we helped them. I wanted you to know that. Got them some groceries. They're supposed to be here Sunday, and hopefully they will be. But then we were able to help somebody else with some of the money also. So I think that's good. That's good. We had enough to help more than one family. And so, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. 1 John, 2nd chapter, 3rd verse. It stopped me. I think I just talked about the first two verses from what I've got written down in my Bible. If I repeat myself tonight, would you forgive me? And chalk it up to old age. And forgetfulness. That's where my sins are at. But I don't think he expects me to be so forgetful, but I tell you what, it seems like the older you get and the more life you live, the harder it is to remember all of it. And I don't like that, but that's just kind of the way it is. My wife was talking about something last night, and she said, don't you remember that? Yeah, I remember. Sure do. But after we thought about it, yeah, I remember that. But I don't remember it quite as well as you do. But I did remember. What? Well, I can't say it here because I can't. It's not bad. It's just something that's got to be a secret. And verse 3. I bet if I tell you this, then it'll jog your. I bet you Laurie knows. That's still not going to help you. Okay. Denny's wondering, what in the world? It's no big deal, son. Now, get your mind off that stuff. By this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. By what? By what? By keeping his commandments, we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing. Did I go the wrong place? No, away, and the true light is already shining. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight for your word. We ask, Lord, that you would illuminate your word to our hearts, open the eyes of our understanding, and help us, Lord, to abide in you and your word so that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Praise the Lamb of God. We talked a little bit, and what we need to talk about a little bit here as we start this scripture is a thing called obedience. A word called obedience. In these scriptures, there's several things, three or four, five things that if we start hearing about here, and I don't have them all written down tonight, so my memory being what it is, I won't be able to recite all of them to you, but this is the third one that's in there. And obedience of God's commands constitutes a third test of genuine fellowship. Obedience to God's word is a test of whether a person is genuinely in fellowship with God. We don't like this type of preaching. Most people, they'd rather hear that you can go do whatever you want to do. You don't have to adhere to God's word. You don't have to obey it if you don't want to. You just pick and choose the finer, you know, and fine tune God's word to fit your way of thinking, and then you're okay because you are obeying God's word. But really, God's word gives no place for us to pick and choose what portions we're going to obey. And so a test of our fellowship with God is whether we obey Scripture. Not whether you obey the pastor. However, if he's the head of the church, you know, God sets order. So if he's doing right and leading proper, preaching correct, then you should follow after him, because after all, he is your shepherd. Okay, to shepherd is we're basically an under shepherd to the chief shepherd. So we shouldn't be teaching and doing things that opposes the word of God. So when we try to talk to you and lead you, direct your path, it's according to the word of God. If we're not, then you have a right to confront. Say, Pastor, I think you got wrong on that one. Well, you better be sure. And if we have, then we'll correct. I have corrected mid-preaching sometime. I've got to go along and say, whoa, wait a minute. I don't mean it that way. That's not what the word's really saying. The Holy Spirit checked me in my spirit. I say, hold on. Let me regroup here. Because I just said something erroneous. Something that's really not in the Word of God. So let's change it. And so my point is this. Not that you obey pastor, but that we must obey the Word of God. If we're going to, that's a proof of our fellowship with God. Now, I want to have fellowship with God. When we sang that song we just sang, that's such a precious song. Oh, Lord, you're beautiful. Your face is all I seek. Then that second verse really gets down there and starts hitting home. And I can't even remember it now, but I know it hit home. I really can't quote it verbatim like I do a lot of songs, but or pretty close to verbatim. But it's very, that song touched my heart tonight and spoke to me and my responsibility back to God. See, God's done His part, but now we have responsibility back to God. And we can't get around that. We can't accept God's part without doing our part. And many people want to do that. They want to do God, want God to do His part, but they don't want to do His part. So obedience to God's command is a test of genuine fellowship with God. So John first presents two external tests that demonstrate salvation. And it's a doctrinal test and a moral test. The doctrinal test consists of confessing a proper view of Jesus and sin. In the first chapter here, we talked about that, who Jesus is and how to have fellowship with Him. And if we were in dark, you know, if we say we have fellowship with Him, walk in darkness, we lie. In other words, we say we have fellowship with God and we're still sinning, we're still in darkness, we're liars. Then John goes on here and says, if you don't keep His commandments, you say you know God and you know Jesus, you don't keep His commandments. John, watch John say again. You're a liar. Wow. How would y'all like it if every time I got up here and said, you know what? You're liars. You say you love God, but you're not doing what you're supposed to. You're just a bunch of liars. You'd get aggravated at me. Some of you get downright mad. Others would have their feelings hurt because pastor said I was a liar. Well, why would he say something like that? My goodness, I wouldn't send on a pastor do you that way. Well, you know what? I would rather have a pastor look me right square in the eye and say, you know what? If you're not lining up to the Word of God and you say you're a Christian, you're a liar, then to not line up with the Word of God and have the pastor step there and say, you know what? You're okay and I'm okay and we're headed to heaven. We're all going the same direction. We're going to make it one day. Just hang in there. Keep doing what you're doing. Folks, we need correction sometime. We need to understand that this fellowship with God is more than just words. And Jesus said, or John wrote, and this is John, that disciple that God, that Jesus loved, that laid on His breast, that was one of His most closest advisors, closest disciple, said, if you don't keep His commandments and say you're in fellowship with Him, you're nothing more than a liar. In other words, you're lost as lost can be. And it sounds terrible. It sounds harsh, but it's not really, because the Word will edify. The Word will build up. The Word will shine a light or illuminate the wrong in our lives. So, not so that it can condemn us, because we're condemned already, but so that it can illuminate the fact that we are condemned if we don't line up to God's Word. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? I'm not trying to be hard or hateful, but we have to line up to the Word of God. And all of us fall short at times. We do. Whether we want to admit it or not, at times we fall short. So we have grace and we have mercy. So don't think that I'm just this hard person, but I'm telling you, folks, there must be a consecrated effort on your part to obey God. It's very important. Then he says, verse 5, but whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. So we have these tests. The moral test consists of obedience and love. And so we know that, but a false teacher's failure to obey God's commands demonstrates that they were not saved. If you don't keep his commandments, you're not saved. And so we know, so he says, to know that you're saved, one of the ways you know you're saved, you've been enlightened and you're obedient to God's word and you keep his word. If you keep his word, truly the love of God is perfected in them. Isn't that wonderful that God looks at you and say, when you keep his word, that his word is being perfected in you? People can see you and say, you know what? They really love God. And it'll draw them to God. When you are living what you say, you're a living witness of what you practice what you preach. You don't say one thing and do another. You don't talk about love and then hate somebody over here. You don't say you love this person and over here you say, you know what? You know what? I found out about them today. You know, you tell them to their face you love them. Over here you're telling somebody all the garbage that you found out about them. Telling everything bad. Some things we have to know. Some things we need to share. But some things we don't need to share. We need to pray about it and let God do something about him. Praise the Lord. Verses 3 and 4. I'm backed up. I'm still bogged down 3 and 4, but we're going to get to where I'm at in a minute. You see, so in verses 3 and 4, John said two words, know and keep. Know and keep. So the repetition of these words emphasizes that those genuinely born again display this habit of obedience. You know the word and you keep the word. You know the word and you keep the word. When you learn new words, you keep the word. When something's enlightened to you that you never knew before, you start keeping it. But I'll tell you what, you need to learn the word. Some people try to play this card, and I'll preach this before long, I think. This card of, well, I didn't know. I didn't know. So if I didn't know, I'm not required to keep it. No. You have the Word of God. We spend hours every day watching TV. Why don't we spend a little bit of time studying the Word of God and letting God show us how we're supposed to live? Come on now. So we can't use that crutch. You get a speeding ticket today and you're going 55 or 60 in a 45 mile zone and you say, well, officer, I didn't know. He's going to say it's your responsibility to know. But I didn't see the sign. Makes me no difference. It's a 45. You were going 60. You should have known. But I didn't see the sign. That's your problem, ma'am. Or that's your problem, sir. That's the speed limit. It's your responsibility. You can't use that I didn't know crutch with the law enforcement officer. Unless they're just being generous with you, it usually won't work. It won't work because it's your responsibility if you drive a motor vehicle to know the law. Do we all know all the laws? Probably not. There's some statutes and some things that we probably don't know. But really, it's our responsibility if we're going to operate that vehicle to know the law and then obey it. Amen? I was driving to eastern Oklahoma yesterday. We pulled through, was it Hartshorn? As we was leaving Hartshorn, there's a law enforcement officer there, highway patrolman. He had somebody stopped. No big deal. Went around him. He let him go just as I went around and pulls in behind me and followed me for 15 miles. I was a nervous wreck. I was not speeding when I seen him the first time. And I certainly wasn't going. I hadn't sped all day. I'd kept my speed under control and I wasn't going. I was just taking my time. But I had a hard time keeping the car slowed down. Well, you couldn't put it on cruise in the particular area I was in. You had to, and so I was constantly, I was like, I'm not nervous, but yet I wish the man would get around me. He followed me for miles, didn't he? For miles. Finally, he went around me. And then he went around this other car. And then we never saw him again. He didn't obey the laws of the land. He was gone. But I was so glad when that guy got around me. It's like, would you please go on? I'm not going to do anything wrong, sir. You've already had plenty of time to run my tag. You've been back there long enough. But I was responsible to obey the law, whether he did or not. If I'd have sped up when he sped up and kept up with him, he probably would have told my wife. I said, he's went around, and he's turning that radar around the other direction now. He's going to start shooting it backwards now. He's going to try to get me. He's tricking me. But he didn't get me. But I did speed up. But it's my responsibility. And once I asked Wayne, Wayne, what's the speed limit right through here? She goes, I haven't seen the sign. It's not my responsibility. It's yours. I'm not driving. But you're going to share in paying the ticket. You understand? It was my responsibility to obey the traffic laws. And the same thing with the Word of God. It's our responsibility to obey the law of the Lord. And God's law are not grievous. They're not put in place to make our lives difficult. They're put in place to protect us, to lead and guide us into ways of righteousness, so that we one day will see the Lord and have great rewards when we get there. So we know and we keep. John used that word know approximately 40 times, and he used that word keep close to 10 times. So they must have meant something to him. He must have meant know the word, keep the word. Know the word, keep the word. Know God's standards, keep God's standards. Come on. It's important to us. But we throw things out sometimes. Well, I didn't know. I don't care. Brethren, he goes, well, whoever keeps his word, the truth, the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. How's that? By keeping his word. And so it goes on, and verse 6 says, he who says he abides in him ought also himself also to walk just as he walked. So he said, we say we abide in him. Brother Ryder brought us a good study on that here a while back about abiding in the vine. In 1 John, I believe it's the 14th chapter, just a few verses right there on our relationship about abiding in Christ. Jesus said in verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. Come on, it's what he said. If he who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, but without me, you can't do anything. Without me, you can do nothing. We must abide in Christ. And John puts a very strong emphasis on that. If you are abiding in Christ, you're keeping his commandments. And how do we know you're abiding in Christ? Because you're keeping his commandments. How we know? You're living for God, the best of your ability. And so it says, if you abide in me, and what abide means is to remain or stay around. You must remain in Christ. Stay around the vine. Amen? And so that's very important. So remaining is evidence that the salvation has taken place. You remain in Christ. If somebody gets saved, they're a new creature, the Bible says. The old things pass away. All things become new. What do they immediately do? They abide. They begin to be a part of the vine. And he says, if you stay in the vine, you abide in the vine, it is proof that salvation has taken place. How do you know you're staying in the vine? You're keeping his commandments. You're walking in his commandments. There's fruit or evidence of salvation because you are living for God, you are serving God, you are abiding in his teaching. And the abiding believer is the only legitimate believer. Someone who says they know the Lord and do not keep his commandments are not in the vine. They are not true believers. I know that's tough. I know it sounds harsh. I'm not meaning to be harsh. I'm not meaning to be hard. But there is responsibility on the believer's part to abide in the vine, obey the word of God, so that your joy. Jesus said, he says here, if you abide in me, verse 7, my words abide in you. You will ask what you desire, and it shall be done. So what's good about abiding in the vine?
God supplies your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus, because you are abiding in the vine. Jesus goes on to say, but by this my Father is glorified, that you bear fruits, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, and just as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. Did you hear that? You're abiding in His love by keeping His commandments. You're proving your love to Him by serving Him, by keeping His commandments and doing what He tells you to do. Simple. Real simple. This is salvation or religion 101. If you want to be a Christian, abide in the vine. Obey Jesus Christ. Follow His commandments. Walk in love. Do good. Love people. Simple stuff. Hard to put into exercise sometime, but it's very simple stuff. And if you're really in Christ, it becomes more and more easy to accomplish in your individual lives. Jesus goes on to say in verse 11 of John 15, I figure you already figured that out maybe. You didn't figure that out, Melissa? Oh, okay. I was really concerned there for a minute that my daughter, raised up in a Christian home, in a pastor's home, didn't know where that was at. How could she? The preacher didn't know either. It's John 15. Fix to say 14 again. And most of you found it, didn't you? No? Well, I'm glad I'm... Never mind, I'll leave that alone. These things, Jesus said. These things. I was going to try to be funny, but I better move on. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. Then I'm going to go to the next verse. He says this, verse 12, this is my commandment. Okay, then we're going to go back to 1 John because he's going to get right into this right here. Jesus said, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, than he laid down his life, one's life for his friends. Do you hear that? Jesus said, that's how you know you love. That's how you know you love me. You love one another, and you keep my commandments. And he goes, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer I call you a servant, but I call you friend. Isn't that wonderful? Now go back to 1 John. We have to abide in the Word. We have to obey His commands. We have to submit to His Word. And we're committed to His Word. We're devoted to His will. And that way we'll be fruitful. It's not an emotional thing. It's a decision you make. I love the Lord. I'm going to follow His commandments. I'm going to love people. It's a decision I make. It's not based on emotions. It's not based on what they're doing for me. It's based on what He's done for me and what He's doing through me. And I'm going to do it because He commands me to do it. Sometimes I may not like it, but I'm going to shake myself. I'm going to slap myself around spiritually, and I'm going to do what God tells me to do. If He tells me I've got to love that one, I'm going to love them. Because that's how they know whether I'm a Christian or not, whether I love. People don't like that, do you? I don't want, doesn't matter. That breaks. When you follow the Word of God, Sister Martha, it'll break down racial barriers. It'll break down religious barriers. If you really love like God tells us to love, and love because He commands us to love, we cannot hate anybody because of color, because of their race, because of their religion, because of their lifestyle. No, there's nothing out there that we can hate. We can hate the sin, but we can never hate a sinner. But we've been bad about it, not really showing the love of God because of somebody's race, somebody's color, somebody's lifestyle. And we've separated ourselves and didn't really show the love of God. We've been guilty. But Jesus said, this is how you know you keep my commandments. And then go on here. It says this, verse 7, 1 John 2. He says, I'd write no new commandment. Now, he's going to kind of talk in circles here and almost confuse you if you're not. He's kind of being a smart aleck in a sense here. I write no new commandment, but an old commandment that you've had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write. Now he says, now I write a new commandment to you. First he says, I'm not going to write a new commandment. You have an old commandment. Now he says, I'm going to write a new commandment to you. To you, because which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away, the true light is already shining. Now, which is it, John? Is it a new commandment or is it an old commandment? It's an old commandment, but he's trying to get their attention. It's new in the sense of time, something that is fresh in quality. Something replaces something else that's been worn. It's not new, I should say, in the sense of time, in the sense of something that's worn out or something's lost its quality. But the new commandment or old commandment, John makes a word play here. Though he doesn't state here what the commandment is, he does in 2 John 5 and 6. Look over there for a moment. Oops, can't find it. Pages sticking together. 2 John 5 and 6 says this, and now I plead with you, ladies, not that as though I write a new commandment to you, but that which you have from the beginning, that we love one another. It's new, but it's not new. He's trying to make a point here. The Lord of God teaches us to love one another. Then he says, this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment that is, that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in. So what's John putting? John is putting a premium on love, on true Christian love. Love one another. Walk in love. What John wants you to do? Did I mess y'all up? Did I get in the wrong scripture? Huh? I said 2 John 5 and 6. Verses 5 and 6. Since there's no, do you want me to read it again? Before y'all laugh, how many more of you were confused? 2 John verses 5 and 6. If you go over there, there ain't but one chapter. 2 John. 2 John. Verses 5 and 6. And now I plead with you, lady. I plead with you, lady, as though I write a new commandment to you. But that which we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. It's still reading just like it did before while y'all were confused. This is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. So what's John? He's putting a premium on love. And we have that scripture, and I don't think it's in the Bible, but if it is, correct me, because after all, I'm just human. Love covers a multitude of sin. If we'd really get real love into our marriages and into all of our relationships, into everything that we do, we'd operate in real Christian love, we wouldn't have near the problems we're having today. Our lives would change and be different. The problem is, you might change and start walking in love, but there's so many people out there that profess the name of Christ. There's so many people out there that don't want nothing to do with Christ who aren't going to walk in love. So it really changes things, doesn't it? It's hard to really put this into practice, but you have to love anyway. John put a premium on love. And Jesus said this, there's two main commandments. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And the second Jesus said is similar to it or like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. two commandments. If you get those two commandments right, your whole life will change, your attitude will change, your actions and your deeds will change, especially towards people. Everything you do, see, you won't steal because you love people and you love God. You won't commit adultery because you love God and you love people and you don't want to violate any vow to God or a vow to, you know, you don't want to, you won't lie because you love God and you love people, so you don't want to tell a falsehood. You won't tell, you won't gossip. You won't tell a bad story on somebody because you love God and you love people. So you don't want to do any harm to anybody. I mean, man, it just changes everything, doesn't it? You're not so self-centered no more. It's about loving people and helping people and loving others. It's more than yourself. So therefore, man, life just starts getting better and you don't leave a church because you didn't like what the preacher preached. So, oh, God love him. I have to too. No, I'm not worried about that tonight. I'm just telling you, there's so many things that would change if we would love like God teaches us to love and practice that. Then our lives would change, our attitude would change, and our outlook and our it would be different in everything that we do if we'd really love like God loves and like He commands us to love. When you had a harsh word with somebody, you'd be checked in your spirit immediately and you'd want to make it right. You wouldn't go to bed mad at night. The Bible says, let not the sun go down on your wrath. It teaches us to make peace quickly. Make peace with your adversary quickly. That's what he says. Boy, we let it fester. Like a big old boil on your backside. Can't sit down, it hurts. Can't get around, it hurts. You finally got to do something about it. Got to lance that dude. Get the poison out. Come on, that sounds terrible, but you understand what I'm saying. You've got to love like Jesus loves, or it's going to fester up. Your life's not going to be productive. No wonder we don't have productive Christians. There's too much stuff festering. Too much anger and hate and malice in us. And Jesus said through John here, if you don't love, and you don't abide in Him, you don't keep His commandments, you're not even a Christian. That's harsh. But that's the Word of God. And I told you it's difficult to put it into practice, and we all fail sometime, but we ought to be checked in our spirit, and we ought to be praying through about it. You mean I got to pray through all the time? If you're struggling with this thing and you're struggling with loving, you need to keep it on the altar till you can finally get to that place of victory over it. Amen? So, not getting very far, very fast, am I? But he says we got to love like He loved us. It was new because it was teaching it now again. It's old because the Old Testament commanded love. And when you become a Christian and you accept God's grace, you have a command from Jesus to love like God loves. And from the beginning of your relationship with Christ, when Paul says you've heard from the beginning, when you got saved, you started hearing that you are to love like Jesus loved, to keep His commandments and walk like He walked and be like Him. And we sing that song, to be like Jesus. It's all I ask is to be like Him. It is difficult to really love and walk like Jesus walked. But we have a commandment right here in the book of John to do that very thing, to prove our love for God by keeping His commandments. And here he's talking about love. And we get on over here a little later, we'll find out about it. And he goes on to say, let me hurry. Just let me finish up through verse 11. I won't take very long. I'll just talk about it briefly. Verse 8, again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in Him and in you, because darkness is passing away and true light is already shining. When you got saved, the darkness passed, and His light began to shine in your life and illuminate your path and show you things in your own lives that needed correction. Amen. When you were in darkness, you didn't see them, you didn't notice them, you didn't recognize them, you didn't care. But when you become a Christian, then there are things being illuminated. You're in dark, you're in light now,
So you understand there's some things have to change. So you begin to change those things. You begin that process of sanctification, a work in your life from glory to glory, from sanctified to sanctified. To one of these days you'll be totally... So now I need to find that for you for just briefly. You're sanctified when you get saved, okay? Understand that. But you're not, when you first get saved, most of us are not where we were then, now, in our process of living for God. We have learned more, so we've grown up, we have matured, and we'll keep maturing and growing up and learning more and doing more till we finally get to heaven. And then we'll be totally sanctified. The process will be completed when we get there. Right now, yes, you're sanctified, but the process is still, you're still maturing. Because you start out on milk. Then you know, just like a baby milk, and then you get some of that processed stuff they call food. Finally, you get to the real stuff. Then eventually you get to eat meat. Get away from them old processed wieners, and you get to some real meat. You know, so right now, sometimes some people have to be fed Oscar Mayer wiener. They can't handle a T-bone. You know, you understand? It's soft. It's easier to digest for them. But you got to get to the good stuff eventually. Get your teeth out. Chew it. Good stuff. He says, verse 9, "He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness even now." You're still in darkness. If you're in darkness, what's that mean? You're not saved. "He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there's no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes." Boy, you could build a lot right there, but we'll just let it go with that. You must love like God loved, like God loves us, and teach, and Jesus taught us to love. And you must keep his commandments. If you're a Christian, you keep his word. You live for him the best of your ability. So that's difficult, but doable. You can ask anybody. I've been doing this for 40 years. Got out of church a few years of my teen years, got back in right after I got married. So I've been doing this about 40 years. If I can do it, anybody can do it. If I can overcome my mistakes, you can overcome your mistakes. I like what L.R. Hurst used to say, and he didn't say it. He said it pretty often, but when you falter, he'd say it sort of like this. You may remember it, Eric. You may have been too young. I don't remember now. "Pull yourself up by your bootstraps and keep walking. Pull yourself up and keep going. You make a mistake, repent. Pull yourself up and keep serving Jesus. You'll get better at it. You'll get stronger. You'll get to where you can face bigger obstacles because they'll never stop coming. And you'll never get to the place that you're not tempted. You'll never get to the place that you never make a mistake. But you keep on serving God and loving people and doing your very best to follow his word." Amen? Is that okay? Say, oh my.